I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Your tax dollars are being used to fund museums full of leftist propaganda. Plus, more Seattle area layoffs as voters double down on crazy. And former Governor Jay Inslee standing by his comments that the Spokane fires were caused by climate change, even after police revealed it was actually arson. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. You know, I love patriotism. I am nothing if not patriotic. And so I was happy to learn that the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle has a very patriotic display going on right now. This is actually very, very cool. I don't have anything bad to say about it at all. There's absolutely no follow-up to this that's going to make it an absolutely epic story. Nope, I'm just going to compliment them on the Freedom Plane National Tour. So the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle, it is a subsidiary of the Smithsonian, but it focuses a lot on local history and industry. It's right there on Lake Union. It's actually a pretty cool building. But they were selected among the museums in the country to get this Freedom Plane national tour. It's a selection of documents from the National Archives. And I love stuff like that, and especially if you don't have to go to D.C. to see them. And so they're touring the country. It's part of a celebration for our country's 250th birthday right here in Seattle. It's happening until August the 16th. Here's some of the things that you can see there. An original engraving of the Declaration of Independence. There's only like 50 of these in existence. So I think that's pretty cool. Definitely something I would want to see. The original Treaty of Paris. Love that. Even got the cool roses down there. Awesome. How about a tally of votes approving the Constitution? I mean, this is really cool stuff. And especially, you know, I've been hard on Seattle for maybe not being patriotic. And so I think it's awesome that Mohai was chosen for this very American display. Again, you can go check it out for another 10 days at the Museum of History and Industry, as one of our Undivided viewers did. And don't get me wrong, this particular viewer thought that this display was awesome. Don't have to go to the National Archives or any sort of DC museum right here in our own backyard. Yeah, there is a but. But this viewer noticed something very interesting as they were emerging from that exhibit at Mohai and heading into the next exhibit. And this dutiful viewer took a bunch of pictures so we could see what they saw. Here it is. So you will see the crowd there. That is in the Freedom Plane National Tour exhibit. Very popular, it turns out. Very popular. But as you leave that exhibit, seeing these famous documents about the history of our country, and enter the next exhibit, you will see something very different. You will see that upside-down American flag with BLM written on it. Let's zoom into some of this, shall we? Right outside that exhibit, here's a display, COVID anonymity 2020. So there's a guy with a COVID mask and a flag with graffiti on it. I have a faint memory of this man. If he were to walk past me today, I wouldn't recognize him. During CHOP, anonymity became universal. The protesters were masked. The police were masked. The National Guard was masked. Today we walk amongst one another as strangers, unaware we may have stood on opposite sides of a charged moment in American history. Shrouded and standing in front of love plus rage, those eyes smolder, the mask echoes both suppression and protection. Okay. And below that, upside down American flag, which of course means we're in distress. It says love plus rage, BLM. Talks about the summer of 2020 in Seattle. In June 2020, stirred by the murder of George Floyd and the uncertainty of the COVID-19 pandemic, thousands of masked protesters descended upon the aging police precinct in Seattle's Capitol Hill, establishing the Capitol Hill Occupied Protest, or CHOP. On the other side, again, as you're emerging from this wonderful, and may I add, highly in-demand display, The National Archives was only going to send this patriotic display to so many places in the country. Mohai in Seattle wanted it. Mohai got it. Other museums did not. Cool American documents, only to come out and then immediately be indoctrinated in anti-American sentiment. Here's what's on the other side of that wall. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal and a drag queen depicted as Captain America. Let's read the placards, shall we? It's from something called the American Superhero Project. We present a collection of everyday superheroes whose stories of resilience and tenderness exemplify life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There is a superhero within us all. Regardless of our national birth, beliefs, orientation, gender identity, race, abilities, or family makeup, this collection celebrates those differences. And so, of course, you gotta have, as an everyday superhero, the most leftist member of Congress from the state of Washington, and dare I say, in the nation, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. She is, according to Mohai, an everyday American hero. And then on the flip side, Aleska Manila, a social worker, activist, and drag queen, also an everyday American hero. To be American is to be able to live freely, have autonomy over our bodies, and to be proud of whoever we are, wherever we come from, whatever belief systems we adhere to, as long as they come with love, respect of ourselves and our individuality and of others. We can all coexist with love and with pride. So again, before I continue painting this picture, you have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see some rare documents from American history. Mohai got this exhibit from the National Archives, but of course, to the left, patriotism means Donald Trump. Patriotism means conservatives. Orange man bad. Oh, and we're not proud of America right now. What is there to be proud of? We're not celebrating 250 years. So in order to not anger Seattle leftists, they had to counter it with something. They had to have that, but then had to have indoctrination. Right outside the upside-down American flag, the BLM, talk about the protest movement of CHOP in the summer of 2020, which wasn't a protest, it was an occupation, a deadly occupation, but they don't mention that people died there. And then you have to celebrate as Captain America, everyday superheroes like the most leftist member of Congress, because of course, not for one second would they ever recognize a conservative or a Republican as an everyday superhero. Now, all of this continued into the gift shop at Mohai. Now, of course, whenever, if you've been to a museum, whenever they have some sort of display that's going to be at the museum for a period of time, they'll usually have corresponding stuff for sale in the gift shop. And this goes really for any museum. So, of course, we would anticipate that since they have this Patriotic America 250 themed display, that they would have a ton of patriotic American stuff in the gift shop. Well, yes and no. They included some patriotic stuff in the gift shop, but they had to surround it with anti-American things just so it all balanced out. So again, our dutiful viewer took these pictures. Here's a mug you can get about landmark Supreme Court cases. All right, that's fine. No big deal. Here's a disappearing civil liberties mug, where apparently once the mug gets warm, your civil liberties disappear off of it. Interesting. On the other side, they do have a copy of the U.S. Constitution, a quiz deck, the American Revolutionary War, Heroes of the American Revolution, Native American History, the Civil Rights Movement. I'm fine with all of that. But underneath it and surrounding it, they have a QR code for the Land Back Movement, which is like giving land back to the Native Americans. They have a sticker that says, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes a duty. Let's see this one. No one is illegal on stolen land. Cool. Stop pretending your racism is patriotic. And this one, it says land of the free, but it has a little asterisk in small writing that says terms and conditions apply, not available in all states. You guys, why even ask for the Patriotic America 250 exhibit? Why even have it there if you're going to desecrate it with graffitied upside down American flags and members of Congress as superheroes, but only the most leftist members of Congress, and drag queens as American superheroes, and then have, you know, historic books in the gift shop surrounded by, yeah, but we should give the land back we stole from the Native Americans, and don't pretend your patriotism and your racism is patriotic. It's outrageous. And then our viewer also pointed out, and don't get me wrong, as soon as we got this email, I really wanted to go down to Mohai, but, you know, I'm a busy lady, so I'm glad that this viewer sent all the pictures that we needed. So, again, they had that tiny little display. Can we show it one more time of America books? If you can even call it that. You got six books about America right there. And three of them, I would argue, I mean, Women Who Dare, Native American History, the Civil Rights Movement, so sort of some subsets of American history, but then surrounded by the We Hate America and We Hate Everything sticker movement there. Now compare that to their section at the Mohai gift shop of queer history books. So our viewer wrote, in the middle of the gift shop is a book stand with a number of books with various queer and activist themes. They said it is by far the largest book display in the shop, larger even than the display about America, at a time when, of course, they have this fantastic exhibit from the National Archives. Let me read a few of these titles for you. Transgender History, a resource for today's struggle and tomorrow's. A Black Queer History of the United States. Year of the Tiger, an Activist Life. We Do This Till We Free Us, Abolitionist Organizing and Transforming Justice. Mutual Aid, Building Solidarity During This Crisis. And mutual aid is something that is Antifa language, I would note. A Queer History of the United States. Real Queer America, LGBTQ Stories from Red States. There is no place for us, working and homeless in America. Our work is everywhere, an illustrated oral history of queer and trans resistance. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 books about queer and trans history and resistance compared to the 6, and I would really argue only 3 books about American history that they had to surround with anti-American stickers and with race and social justice stickers. Now, as I mentioned, the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle is essentially a partner museum of the Smithsonian. So perhaps this shouldn't come as a surprise to us because the Smithsonian itself is also under a lot of scrutiny right now. President Donald Trump and Republicans, they even had committee hearings on this in Congress, launched this effort called Restoring Trust in the Smithsonian Institution. They released a report called Saving America's Story, How Ideological Capture of the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History Erases Our Heritage, basically said the Smithsonian isn't presenting American history as a shared national inheritance to be taught and celebrated, but something like to be and feel guilty about. And of course, the Smithsonian has said, that's not true. We're not a woke institution. We don't do that. Let's look at the Smithsonian American Art Museum's website right now. Climate woke, shareable graphics for printing the revolution, the rise and impact of Chicano graphics. I am undocu-queer. A little graphic you can print there. Okay, climate woke, another little graphic you can print there. So I love that they're saying we're not woke while they have this thing right up on the art museum website about their exhibit, climate woke. You can't make this stuff up. You get, and here's the thing, your tax money is footing the bill for this. Seattle taxpayers and Washington state taxpayers have spent tens of millions of dollars supporting the operations of Seattle's Museum of History and Industry. And they just can't help themselves. They can't just have a patriotic display during our nation's 250th birthday with documents that people might never, ever be able to see again. You can't just do that because the modern left doesn't like the country. They don't feel patriotic. And so they have to insert all their talking points and propaganda and race and social justice and LGBTQ and queer history and trans history and Native American history and give back the land and all of these things. It's absolutely outrageous. So we have reached out to the Museum of History and Industry. You know, I kind of think maybe we shouldn't have done this segment. Because here's what's going to happen. Now it's going to be out there that this, what is it called again? Freedom Plane National Tour is at Mohai in Seattle. And the leftists are going to go throw paint on the copy of the Constitution. You know, when they go and they try to splash in the name of climate change.
I hope it's protected.
The Mona Lisa. They're going to go and they're going to put red paint on the original engraving of the Declaration of Independence and the tally of votes approving the Constitution. Because that's what they do. Because we can't have nice things. Anyway, go to Mohai. Great idea. I think you'll have a really bang-up time. Sounds like there's a lot to do there. All right, coming up next, more layoffs in the state of Washington. And we juxtapose that to the election results of Tuesday and realize that voters here seem perfectly content with losing jobs and businesses closing down. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Wonderful advertisers on our show, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. There's a few things the organization does for landlords, and they really only deal with landlords that are small to mid-sized, so not the really, really big guys. But if you've got a couple units, maybe a dozen units, they can help you navigate the complex and constantly changing world of rules and regulations that we have in the state for landlords, rent control, all that stuff. They're also fighting the good fight when it comes to private property rights. Right now, they've got a major case that we're waiting for a ruling on, and they have events all year long talking about housing policy and other things that intersect with housing policy. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, the layoffs continue in the state of Washington, and they're only going to accelerate. You know, there might be some businesses sort of holding on to see whether the income tax is repealed in November, whether it's struck down by a court of law, whether things get so bad that Democrats have a change of heart. But I think this is unfortunately just the beginning, and a lot of these layoffs are in tech. We had a robust tech sector. We've made it very inhospitable to continue to operate here and bring in new endeavors here. And so they're just going elsewhere. So just a few of the headlines. GeekWire, Google to cut 52 employees in Washington state. Visa lays off dozens of Bellevue workers, citing AI. Verizon to lay off 54 Washington employees. Zillow layoffs hit 91 jobs in Washington state, with senior roles bearing the brunt. And you check. I mean, the nice thing about this law that Democrats passed not too long ago is that companies, if they're going to have layoffs or closures that will impact jobs and workers here, they have to tell the Washington Employment Security Department. And then there's like this alert put up that, hey, this company is going to be laying people off. And usually this comes out before workers even know that they're going to get laid off, right? And so you can check yourself every single day if you want to. In the Employment Security Department, Google, Zillow, 80 Acres Urban Agriculture, Visa, IQ Data International, No Meat Factory, USA Inc., Verizon, layoffs, 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 closure, layoff, layoff, closure, layoff. Permanent, 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 permanent. And this is, again, in the backdrop of everything else our state has done up to this point, that has had this slow leak of wealth, slow leak of job creators. It's capital flight, and it's been going on for a long time, no matter what, how much Democrats want to deny it. I mean, Jeff Bezos, Howard Schultz. Jeff Bezos, in fact, now he's in Florida soaking up the sun with his buddy Howard Schultz. He just sold another $4 billion in Amazon stock in Florida, where there is no capital gains tax. And that was the reason he moved in the first place. He can say whatever he wanted, but he held on to all his Amazon stock. And then as soon as he left Washington state for Florida, after they passed the tax on capital gains, he sold a bunch of Amazon stock. I believe it was for the first time to have like a big chunk of it sold. And Washington state missed out on $1 billion when he did that. Because why would he just hand our state government $1 billion when they just squander it? You don't get to be Jeff Bezos by making bad investments and bad business decisions. And so all he had to do is move to a different state, and he got to keep $1 billion that he can invest in the economy in other ways and, you know, Blue Origin or whatever it is. Now, all of that, and this is obvious, this is undeniable. This stuff is happening. You can't deny the layoffs. They're right there on the state website. And, you know, I realize that the media and some will blame it on AI. You know, with AI taking off, yes, that is going to impact certain tech jobs that can now be done with AI. But then what should we be doing? We should try to make this a very advantageous place to invest in AI and AI infrastructure. And we should be supporting other kinds of industries if we continue to see these sorts of layoffs and closures in the tech sector and fewer people coming in to create, you know, fewer tech entrepreneurs. So you should say, okay, if that's going to kind of start to wind down and we can't rely as much on tech, we really have to be good to the remaining businesses and corporations that call Washington State home. No, they passed the largest package of tax increases in state history into law, much of it on B&O taxes. Got the millionaires tax, which is just going to be an income tax on everyone, capital gains tax, you name it. And in their rhetoric, they just vilify businesses. They vilify job creators. And they want to give people who don't create anything a bunch of free stuff. So you would hope, okay, then people are going to start to wake up as businesses leave. But it's not happening. I mean, just the results of the Tuesday election, two of the biggest architects of the income tax, State Senator Jamie Peterson got 70% of the vote. 70% of the vote. I mean, for as like many crazy things as he said and done, and again, passing and forcing through an unconstitutional income tax, doesn't matter if he's in Seattle, 70% of the vote. April Berg in the 44th District, State Representative April Berg, another major architect of the income tax, 62% of the vote. So, you know, you can have bad policies and be angry about those policies, as I think a lot of Washingtonians are, but unless you connect the dots and say, oh, that means I have to vote different. And yes, I might have to hold my nose and vote for a Republican. In the meantime, we've got all these challenging issues and we're electing unhinged people to go back to Olympia like Natasha Hill.
I'm not trying to move toward fascism. If they want to hold shit down with fascism and salute Nazis, that's not, there's no center anymore. You know your history is slave patrols. And that's why they're using ICE right now to round up immigrants to deport them so they can bring in a new batch and do more slavery.
64% of the vote in Spokane. She got 64% of the vote in the primary election on Tuesday. Just days after she went on that weird screed about cops and ICE and slave patrols. Like, we're not sending our best and brightest. And is it any wonder that the state is in such a state of disrepair? It's not just like highly ideological people, because she is clearly highly ideological. It's also people who are frankly incredibly unintelligent. Who, I mean, none of that whole rant, we played a bunch of it on the show a couple days ago. It didn't make any sense at all. It was like hardly even relevant to the question. It was like Kamala Harris word soup. But it's like, oh, she sounds angry and she said the word fascism. Let's send her back to Olympia. So until people vote different, I mean, this is what's going on in Washington State, and it just is not showing signs of getting any better. All right. Speaking of former Governor Jay Inslee doubling down on his statements about the Spokane fires being caused by climate change, we'll get to that in our segment Unbelievable. First, what is your excuse? I've been talking about the First Mark challenge for years now. I use First Mark insurance at home for our business. Nicole's insured through First Mark at her home, and there's a reason. First Mark is just an exceptional company. It's a local company. They're going to pick up your phone when you call if you need your insurance, if you have an accident or something, and they're going to make sure that you have the best insurance at the best rate. And that's what the First Mark challenge is all about. We have had, I think at this point, hundreds of Undivided viewers and listeners who have taken the First Mark challenge. So many of them email us and say, Brandy, what did I wait for? Why didn't I do this sooner? I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. And then there's other people like Kate who says, hey, I took the First Mark challenge. They were honest. They were kind. They let us know we have the best insurance for our situation. Glad we at least contacted them. So then Kate walks away knowing, okay, that's an honest company and they had my best interest in mind. And they told me that they couldn't get a better price than I had right now. So it's one of the many reasons I love First Mark is their honesty, and they really do work for you, not insurance companies. So First Mark Challenge is free. Go to firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right, let's get to a double dose of Unbelievable. I kind of don't want this week to be done. I'm having a good time, honestly. All right. Former Governor Jay Inslee, of course, the climate governor who also ran as the climate presidential candidate and got 1% of the vote. He just can't let the climate grift go. So, of course, after the fires ignited in Spokane, now more than 800 homes have been destroyed. From the safety of his island retreat, he posted this.
It's a beautiful morning here in Lopez Island, but I'm so concerned. Talk to my friend, a legislator in Spokane, who's home was he had to evacuate because of these massive fires in Spokane County. The whole state's under threat now, climate change. You know, climate change isn't some existential global thing. It's our neighbors. It's our friends. We had to fight for them.
Okay. And of course, we know that it was an arsonist that lit the Old Trails fire. And it was like a felon convicted killer who went and just lit some grass and stuff on fire. So will Jay Inslee apologize? Will he say, hey, I spoke too soon. I shouldn't be so irresponsible. No, of course not. It's Jay Inslee. He said, when you hear suspected arson, it's easy to think that wildfire has nothing to do with climate, that the wildfire has nothing to do with climate change. While severe drought, low snowpack, and heat didn't ignite this fire, they are why it's so big, destructive, and fast. And then he has this little thing about how, oh, you know, the Spokane fires and why it's spreading so fast. While climate change does not directly ignite wildfires, it makes them more likely to spread rapidly and become more destructive once they start. Look, this was a fire in a residential area. And so if you want to talk about, like, I mean, I don't believe the notion that climate change is causing more wildfires. I believe it's directly tied to poor forest management in places like Canada and Washington and California. This, when you have, yes, it was hot out and it was windy out. You could go back hundreds and thousands of years, and there are stories of destructive fires that have wiped out big chunks of towns and cities because they were lit at a time when it was, what, hot out and windy out. Hotness and wind have existed for many years. And in combination with fire, it's not a good thing. That doesn't mean it's climate change. This man is so, he is the biggest grifter that has ever existed in politics. And anyone with any self-awareness would just come out and say, you know, sorry to hear that this was caused by arson. I still care about climate change, but clearly this is something else. It's just absolutely unhinged. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. All right, the superintendent of public instruction in Washington, big mad at the Trump administration. So the U.S. Department of Education had put out this press release at the end of July. U.S. Department of Education demands clarity on California and Washington plans to revise transgender policies. So they are demanding updated information from the California Department of Education and the Washington Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction regarding policies governing schools' disclosure of records to parents. They say this is in light of recent court rulings that bolster the legal rights of parents. It says the court also called out California's policies that require educators to hide information about students' so-called gender transition from their own parents. Of course, we know Washington State has similar policies as well. So basically what the U.S. Department of Education wants to know is, in light of these recent court rulings, how are Washington and California going to change their policies moving forward? And we do have an issue with secrecy. It's why 2 years ago, voters put forth an initiative for a parental bill of rights that basically said, no, you can't keep secrets from us. And then the legislature gutted it, and so now it'll be on the ballot again in November, vote yes. And it says a number of things, like you can't, your kid can't go to school and the school calls him a different name and a different gender, and then you don't tell the parents. Or any number of things, you're sending our kid to the gender clinic, and you don't even tell parents. So yes, that's absolutely happening in Washington State. It's why the Parental Bill of Rights Initiative is on the ballot in November. But of course, Superintendent of Public Instruction Chris Reichdahl says, oh, nothing to see here. He even brings up Jeffrey Epstein. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I got to read most of this because it really is outrageous. Let me be clear. Washington state law ensures that when parents and families request information about their child from their child's school, the school provides that information consistent with state and federal laws. False. False, 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 false. Maybe consistent with state law. But what they're saying is that's not consistent with federal law. And if a parent wants to know if their kid is getting called by a different name and gender at school, the school is not going to tell the parent that. We've done a million stories on it. He says, further, Washington state law has robust protections against discrimination for public school students, which has included discrimination based on gender identity for 2 decades. These protections fit within the scope of what is allowed by federal law and recent court rulings on these issues. While the Trump administration continues their lengthy fishing expedition on the taxpayer's dime, my office will continue to uphold and enforce our state and federal laws. Today's media stunt by the now dismantled U.S. Department of Education is yet another reminder that they only exist at this point to pump out political and ideological propaganda. From over here in the functioning Washington, we might suggest they demand charges against any number of persons identified in the Epstein files. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He probably thought that was so funny. He's like, hey, put a line in there about how maybe you should focus on arresting people, which I do agree. I mean, we probably should arrest some people over what's in the Epstein files. But Chris Reichtall is trying to be cute, and it's not cute, and it's really serious. And we've had stories about the state of Washington disappearing children from their parents. We have a girl now who's been missing for 8 months from her loving family because the school helped her gender transition and then helped her get a lawyer to disappear. And now we don't even know if she's dead or alive. And Chris Reichtall doesn't want to answer to that, so he makes jokes about Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, this is the state of our public education system, and it's no wonder so many parents are opting out of it and teaching their kids at home or sending their kid to private school or leaving to other states. When we went to Idaho not long ago to do a series on political exodus from Washington to Idaho, so many people we spoke to as part of that series in those interviews left over education, left because they have young children and they don't want them to be indoctrinated in Chris Reichtall's public school system. So he can continue to act like there are no problems here. Hopefully voters will vote yes in November to restore parental rights, vote yes in November to save girls' sports, vote yes in November to repeal the income tax on a somewhat unrelated note. And then they can send a second message to Olympia that you are cutting parents out and we don't support it. And really, this is not a political issue. Parents have a right to parent their kids. Teachers aren't a substitute for parents. So we'll see again what the U.S. Department of Education does here. I will say, as much as I like a lot of the things that they're saying and a lot of the investigations that they've launched, some of which have originated on our show, I don't know where I want to see some there. I want to see some outcome. Okay, you're investigating this. Well, what happens? You know, they're investigating again, like the story we broke about the testosterone vials that a school district here allowed a kid to and helped a child put into a Pride Month display, like vials containing a controlled substance. And the U.S. Department of Education says, we're investigating this, but what's going to happen? And so I feel like we're into a lot of that. They're making some good points, but I need to see a little bit of productivity on the back end. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next. First, a lot of investors right now focused on AI, crypto, tech, and of course, what's happening in energy is very important. So you want to make sure that your investor is focused on all of those things. Your current advisor isn't underestimating any of their impacts on your portfolio. So if you're concerned about how energy or AI can impact your retirement, it would be smart to get a second opinion. You can do that with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So why not get a second opinion? It does not cost a thing. Schedule your Know Your Risk Portfolio Review today at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Plus, unlike other wealth management firms, you can get market updates every day from Zach Abraham on his Know Your Risk podcast, YouTube channel, and all other social media platforms. Just search Know Your Risk Podcast. All right, it is Thursday. That's when we take a break from the insanity happening in Washington State and get an update on all things happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
A little follow-up from our segment last week. Of course, after Fauci pleaded the fifth like 1 million times, some state attorneys general, like in red states, were saying, well, maybe there is something we can do on the state end, state charges or something. So Florida's attorney general has now issued a subpoena related to Fauci's non-testimony, but also the contents of his diary and everything that has been revealed from that. Here he is.
We issued a formal subpoena to Dr. Fauci under Florida state law, seeking a breadth of documents ranging to what he knew, when he knew it, his doubts about the safety and efficacy of vaccines that he's out there promoting. And we're really focused in on his self-dealing. Evidence has come to light that he was trying to personally profit off of this. This is outside of his government duties, his official role. This is wrong, and it could go towards a deceptive trade practice, fraud, public nuisance, you name it. I think there's many aspects of Florida law that now are implicated. We need to gather discovery and evidence in Florida. You know, we want to seek accountability. And his diary, it screams of fame and fortune. You know, he's doubting the risks of myocarditis. He's frustrated that Florida is not following his directives, so much so that he traveled down. He did news hits, radio hits. He went down with Jill Biden. All the while, we now know privately he has a lot of doubts about safety.
Yeah, we'll see if anything comes of it. I mean, even Governor DeSantis said it would probably be pretty tricky to figure out some state charges for Fauci.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, amongst that, I did read there was like a $900,000 grant that he received from the Florida, like a University of Florida. And they want to know where that money went. Did it go back into research or did it go into somebody's pocket?
Yeah. I mean, he got very rich off of our suffering during the pandemic. Okay. We've talked a lot about this on the segment. Florida voters are going to get to decide on a property tax amendment that will outright eliminate property taxes for a lot of people and lower them for a lot of people in Florida. But a judge says there's a problem with the ballot language.
Yeah. So he basically said that it needs to be rewritten. Starting with the title itself, he says it's not fair or neutral. The title of the amendment is Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes.
Okay.
So, gotta start there. He argues that the word save is not fair or neutral.
Yeah. Neither is excessive.
It's not excessive, yeah. But it evokes an emotion rather than allowing people to make their own opinion when they read through the language. There's some other terms in there. Phrases like protecting small businesses, ensuring fairness for Florida residences, and ensuring funding for core services all need to be removed and rewritten so that it appears to be more neutral and fact-based than, you know, feeling or politically aligned.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because we're dealing with that here, but the roles are reversed. So the Florida AG, who's a Republican, his office, wrote that. Now a judge is saying that's, and I agree. I mean, just the title alone, when you say excessive, you know, that is, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but that's obviously a very subjective term, and saving our homes. And so that's Republicans really trying to, you know, definitely put their finger on the scale of how voters feel about something. And Democrats are doing it here with everything, with the income tax initiative, you know, girl sports, parental rights. So I guess whatever party has universal control, they'll try to abuse it in any way they can.
Yeah. So he has, the AG has 10 days to either appeal this or rewrite these words and reissue them. It's not going to remove Amendment 3 from the ballot by any means, but they do have to work on getting that, you know, rewritten. So hopefully people can read it and still want to vote for it. But yeah. I do understand why they need to be careful with the words they use.
Look, that's a no-brainer in Florida. I mean, Florida's already red, and even if it weren't, if people are told we could eliminate your property taxes, most people are going to want to do that. I bet that passes overwhelmingly. So you don't need to cook the books to get it done.
I don't know. As of the last couple of weeks, there has been a ton of sheriff's offices, fire departments coming out against this, worried about the funding restrictions that could come.
Okay.
Out of this. I mean, it's supposed to protect the funding for first responders and that kind of stuff, but I do think it would put still a limit on how much the money they do have to use. So there is a lot more people that are coming out and speaking out against it that I'm kind of surprised about. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see. This was a big story nationally. Our favorite Florida sheriff, Grady Judge, he says they're looking for this guy, a pastor, right? Who, I mean, can you describe the kind of what he's accused of? Because it's just horrific.
Yeah, so he's accused of going on a dating app to meet minors somehow. So he meets this 14-year-old, convinces them to take the conversation back over to Instagram. Fortunately, Instagram's algorithm, they work with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They have these auto pings. So based on the conversations they were having there, this is how these charges came about, but he had met with this minor on multiple occasions, had sex with them.
Raped.
He's also accused of being HIV positive and not disclosing that, not only, of course, to the minor, but to other sexual partners he's had. So, yeah, so this all came about. The police officers pulled the kid in for questioning, and the kid, you know, told them everything that happened, and then also told them that this guy was traveling to Baltimore. And this is kind of where all this this press conference kind of comes out of.
Yeah. So it's 42-year-old Timothy Channeyfield, a pastor at St. James United American Free Will Baptist Church. So basically finding, grooming minors online, raping them because you can't consent as a minor to sex. So that's just rape. And then also not disclosing he's HIV positive. Absolutely disgusting. So Florida authorities figure out, oh, this guy's like going to be at the airport in Baltimore, right? Yep. And Sheriff Grady Judd says that local police in Maryland wouldn't help catch him. Here's a bite from the press conference.
Of course, when we were able to find that he should have been in the airport, the Baltimore Police Department gave us zero assistance. The Bartow Airport Authority gave us zero assistance, but I don't guess we should expect any more from that. The place is a train wreck anyway.
I mean, but still, what is the rationale? Like, did you not have any officers to send? Why would you not assist Florida authorities with catching someone who is accused of such heinous crimes?
Yeah, and you'd think they'd want to make sure that that person isn't walking around their streets either. You know, he could have easily met somebody up there and done the same crime. So I would think that that would be a universal want, that everybody would want to go ahead and get this guy locked up. But fortunately, he was arrested when he returned to Orlando, now he's facing all types of crimes. And I did find out that he worked as a substitute teacher and a para educator for 12 years at a middle school in Polk County, where Grady Judd is the sheriff.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing they got hit this guy.
Well, and getting his picture out there will probably lead more victims to come forward. But it doesn't surprise me that a predator put himself in, you know, around children and around the kind of people that he wanted to victimize. So, all right, let's fit one more in quick, just because I want to toot Florida's horn. Homeschooling enrollment in Florida up 37%.
Yeah, it's not surprising to me when Florida offers and continuously pushes out this freedom of education, school choice. If you're able to take some of the money that would go to your kid in public school and have it, you know, help at home with homeschooling, I think it makes a lot of parents who are on the cusp, it gives them that little extra push and support that they need to just educate their kids at home. So it is kind of nice to see those numbers consistently going up.
Right. Because, and you know, the teachers unions hate it because they're like, oh, with more school choice, now we have to actually do a good job in order to compete. And they're not. And in, I'm not saying all of them, but our state is not doing very well. And so if you take away that financial risk and loss of having to pull your kid, homeschool them, maybe quit your job, I think it would incentivize a lot of parents here even to go with homeschooling that otherwise would be impossible. So 37% in Florida. All right, Miranda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
That is interesting, that the issue going on with that ballot measure in Florida and Republicans, I mean, that's worse even than a ballot title that a Democrat might write here. I mean, that is just brazen. Save our homes. It's like, well, yes, of course, I want to save our homes. So, you know, it's one of the reasons I just don't identify with either major political party, because I think that at the end of the day, we see it more with Democrats here in our state. But at the end of the day, the party serves the party first and foremost. All right. This is a tough story. And I just put out our daily subscriber show poll on it. So if you haven't taken it yet, please go take it. This from Louisville Public Media. Kentucky Organ Donation Group accused of safety failures to be shut down, according to RFK Jr. At the Department of Health and Human Services. So basically, there is a organ donation group called Network for Hope. And they're being accused of persistent patient safety failures. Apparently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services reviewed like 350 cases in just 3 years between 2021 and 2024 and found 30% showed concerning failures, including many in which patients had neurological signs that should rule out donation. So basically, like, they were taking organs from people who were going to survive, which is like the stuff that nightmares and horror movies are made of. Here is RFK Jr. speaking at a press conference.
We reached this decision after extensive reviews by CMS and HRSA, found persistent patient safety failures despite repeated oversight, repeated warnings, corrective action plans, and multiple opportunities to improve. Federal reviewers found serious deficiencies in nearly 30% of the cases that they examined. We found patients placed on the organ donation pathway who should have never been there. We found cases where the donation process continued despite signs that patients were not appropriate organ donors. We found repeated failures in clinical judgment, oversight, and patient safety. And we found that these problems continued even after the organization promised to correct them. These failures had real consequences. One of those cases involved T.J. Hoover. T.J. showed signs of awareness while on the operating table about to have his organs removed. Physicians refused to proceed with the organ recovery because they believed that he was still alive. Because they acted, TJ is alive and is here with us today.
Okay, so this TJ story is horrible, and I actually have to give credit to NPR, because NPR had reported in 2024 on TJ's story and what happened to him. So they got a lot of attention toward what was happening with this Kentucky organ donor place. So Anthony Thomas, TJ Hoover from Richmond, he'd been declared dead, okay, is like on the table, and he starts visibly crying. Here's his sister recounting those moments.
Hello, all. Senator Kennedy, Administrator Ingalls. I'm Donna Rohr, T.J. Hoover's sister. I was there. I saw what happened to my brother. They prepared to recover his organs while he was still alive. During that honor walk, his eyes were open. He was tracking me, and they told me it was just reflexes. Then during the heart cath, he was thrashing, crying, and grabbing the doctor's hands to stop him. Wow. Even after those signs, the organ procurement process continued until the physician refused to proceed. One of the organization's own coordinators called the home office after the doctor refused. She was told, find another surgeon or you'll lose your job because we're finishing this case.
Wow.
My brother almost died that day. That should never happen to anyone. Laws and standards were clearly violated. Those responsible must be held accountable. When they finally stopped and acknowledged TJ was still alive, they sent him home with me and said, make him comfortable. He will not last. Well, it's been 5 years and he's still here. I'm grateful every day for that, but he is not the same. He has nightmares. He struggles remembering things. And he asked me, sis, why did they want to kill me? I don't have an answer for him. I'm just a sister. But I know what I saw. I had to quit my job to take care of him full time. We're barely scraping by. My life is taking care of my brother, and it wears me out sometimes. I'm not going anywhere. I'm TJ's sister, and I will keep fighting until the people responsible are held accountable so no other family has to live what we're living through.
And reporters in the room said that was her brother in the room crying uncontrollably while she was speaking, and he has clearly some neurological issues, whether it was from his initial illness that led them to say he was brain dead, or whether it was from, you know, anything that followed that, I'm not sure. But either way, she said he was alive. He was tracking me. He understood what was happening. He was crying. He was grabbing the doctor's hand to get him to stop. And that's not those aren't the signs of someone who's completely brain dead. So it's absolutely, I mean, it just is horrifying. I asked you in our daily subscriber show poll if you're an organ donor. And I'll say, I am an organ donor, but I'm sort of like, is there a way to say, yes, I want to be an organ donor, however, these conditions have to be met before you can harvest my organs? Like with a caveat, you know? So yes or no, are you an organ donor? I asked Nicole, what about you? Are you?
Yes.
You are. Does this make you second guess.
It definitely does. But then it also makes me nervous that because it's being abused in this way, that it's going to cost people their lives that are waiting for organs. Like, how scary is that? That while you're waiting for an organ, now somebody might take themselves off the list because they're scared that this is happening in some state somewhere.
Yeah. And there's so many wonderful stories about people who got an organ and, you know, now they get to live. And yes, I mean, there are absolutely people who are past the point of saving, but who do have healthy, viable organs. And so I think I would have a hard time saying, no, I don't want to be an organ donor if my organs that I'm no longer going to need could help someone live. But this freaks me the hell out. I'm going to be honest.
It's scary, but thankfully, they're looking into it now. Yeah. Hopefully, this changes things.
Yeah. So 74% of you said, yes, you are an organ donor. It's really interesting. I just, before I get to comments from you guys on this, I just got a new iPhone. And it has you, like, now put, like, on your lock screen, EMS can access whether you're an organ donor or something. Something like that. Yes.
Huh.
I don't know. I saw that. So Annette says, always have been, but when I hear stories of people waking up as they're harvesting organs, that creeps me out. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that would happen if you got taken by some of the Chinese mafia and then wound up in a freezer somewhere. KLS, not eligible. I have blood cancer. Got my 5-gallon pin before I got sick. Yeah, so it's different if you're not eligible, obviously. Matthew Cook, I used to be until I heard the Kentucky story a few weeks back. Crafty Grandma Crispy, I am rethinking that due to recent abuse and harvesting, a large portion of our medical staff has been compromised. And I'll say, and this sounds maybe dramatic, like let's say you get in a car accident and you got a MAGA shirt on and you're going to one of the many left-wing institutions in Washington State.
Yikes.
Yikes. Does that not give you just like this feeling of dread? And I'm not saying that this is the exception, I hope, not the rule.
Well, it's just like when we talk about, I mean, we've done a couple stories out of Florida where people have said, nurses have gotten fired for saying they hope
that is true.
People die.
Or they hope that the White House press secretary rips anus to right. You know, when she gives birth. So there are those people out there, and it really does freak me out. I mean, I almost left I had a colonoscopy, which... Reminder, you know, getting a colonoscopy is healthy and normal and important for people of a certain age.
I just got told last week I should get one.
Yeah, I had to get one early because I had some weird, like, susceptibility issue.
Yeah.
But when I went in to a shall remain unnamed medical institution and they had me, you know, fill out, can you fill this out? And it was like 40 different, like, gender identity orientation options. And I looked at Mike and I was like, I kind of want to leave.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I want to put my life in the hands of these people, but I ended up doing it anyway. And
I would have just marked
nice.
N-A all over.
No, I just said woman. I'm a woman. Okay.
Yes, but I mean, if there are other questions.
Yeah, absolutely N-A. Outrageous. But all right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, a lot of listings on the market right now. And I actually enjoy perusing listings, even though I'm not looking to sell my house or buy a new house, but it's something
we're
I do.
Nosy. I like feel to look at other people's houses.
Don't you do that for fun?
Yes.
And if somebody in my neighborhood's house is up for sale, you better believe I'm going to go, I wonder what their house looks like because you've never been in it, you know?
Right.
I like doing that. But anyway, all that to say, there's a lot of listings on the market right now. So if you're thinking about selling your home, you have to get an early start and you really need to make sure that you have a real estate agent who understands the market and knows what it's going to take to sell your home in this environment. That is our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. By all means, talk to a few real estate agents, but include Wes Jones, and I promise that you will love what he and his team have to offer. And, you know, marketing is really their specialty, and that's what it takes to stand out in a market like this one where there are so many different listings. And so he's going to start with his Listing Boost concierge service, going over, you know, they even do pre-inspections of your home, which I also think helps eliminate some of the uncertainty on the back end. But as part of that pre-inspection process, they're going to tell you, hey, here's some things that really need to be updated, be it cosmetic updates or something else. And he can even help arrange it so you don't have to pay for that until closing. And then it comes into the marketing, the pictures, the video, the 3D tours, the whatever it is that makes your home stand out so you get more feet in the door, more offers on the table. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to comments from our live stream, shall we? On the Museum of History and Industry. For the love of God, I just don't
I'm so grateful for our listeners and viewers that are so vigilant.
So vigilant, and sent us that they didn't want to be named. They wanted to be anonymous, but sent us so many good pictures. And here's what happened. And here's where everything is. Nothing back from Mohai yet.
They've forwarded my inquiry to the marketing person and exhibit whatever director. So
okay,
I've been forwarded.
I'm sure that they'll get back to us real quick. All right. Russell Morton, civil liberty disappear in a civil liberties disappear in the warmth of collectivism. That's funny. That mug where like you put hot liquid in it and your civil liberties disappear. Yeah, that's right. The warmth of collectivism.
Yep.
Good comment, Russell. A plus.
From Tanya, they also have a pleather BDSM gear display.
Wait, do they?
Is that true?
No, you're joking, right?
I hope
I'm sure they're. I'm sure that's a joke, but that's funny.
Well, that is funny.
You know, isn't it crazy that we're not 100% sure it's a joke?
Well, and the funny thing, other funny thing, I guess, but because I looked to see if that was part of a display, the Jaya Paul, the Captain America thing, and the BLM thing. And that is not listed as any sort of display. So that's one of the questions we asked. Was that part of a display that was like there in the middle or whatever? Because these are other temporary displays. I think the leaving the plane one or the Freedom Tour is like you lead into like this Threads of America, and it's like all the different flags and the history of it and whatever. So there's multiple patriotic themes up there, and they just place these like randos in the middle. So it's not part of a display. It's not anything like that.
Yeah. So we have some questions for sure. Tech Pew Guy. Well, I was thinking about seeing the documents and that sounded cool. And now I know it's a trap to get you into gay weirdo crap. That sucks. You come for the Constitution, stay for queer history.
For weirdo crap.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You want to, hey, you get the next comment.
I don't even know where Fed Yard Dog. There's Miranda's in there, and I'm like, where are we?
Fed Yard Dog. Sounds like the mug of disappearing civil liberties needs a little ice. Yes.
Yeah, true.
Totally funny. All right, on layoffs continuing. Okay. Lockman, you too.
The forest was shrinking, but the trees kept voting for the axe. For the axe was clever and convinced the trees that because his handle was made of wood, he was one of them.
Yes. Okay. Very deep.
Wow. Very deep. I was, for a minute there, I thought we were talking about the next story. And so like the wildfires and Inslee story.
Inslee doubling down on his climate change claims. Sauce, so $20 super chat, climate change made me do it. Yeah. I mean, the arson might say, look, I'm so concerned about climate change that I just figured let's burn it all down.
Right. Show you it. What you could do.
Yeah.
From El Parcomenco. I'm really struggling with these names. You're very good at just owning it, and I'm not. Climate change.
Just Moscow say it summer. With confidence.
I know.
And don't act like you don't know. El Parcomenco.
Yep, there you go.
Okay.
Moscow suffered catastrophic fires in 1382, 1547, 1571, and 1812. Climate change before the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, weird. What's going on there? Sergeant Buck, climate change is causing people to commit arson. Source? Trust me, bro.
Looking for Jesus, looking up for Jesus. Too bad the crooks gifted the money that would have otherwise been spent on forest management. Inslee, the grift that won't, the gift that won't stop giving.
Yeah, the grift that won't stop that grifting, too. For sure. All right, let's see here. Tanya, all bill language should be as straightforward as a dictionary definition. Yeah, I mean, the Florida thing is clearly out of bounds.
But you know what? At least they're getting called out about it. Like ours is ridiculous and nobody does anything about it. That's fine. That's the law. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's have some sane judges making these kind of sane decisions.
Yeah. And there are some. I mean, there's the judge here that was able to throw out the bill that would have allowed them to remove a sheriff and had a big problem with it. So there is the occasional sane judge. All right. Do you want to do a Diana Manning super chat on organ donation?
Sure. Oregon donation saved my brother. My sister gave my brother a kidney and then he received a cadaver pancreas. We need strong rules here so people don't die because of these types of incidents.
Yeah. People need to have confidence that their organs are only going to be harvested if there's no hope for them. So, right. And almost should be. Well, I don't, maybe somebody knows the process. That let's say I because I have organ donor on my driver's license.
Yes.
And let's say something happens to me, I'm at the hospital. Does my husband still get to be the one to say, yes, go ahead with it? Or does he say not matter at that point because I've said I'm an organ donor?
I've heard, I've got to check into it in our state. So I heard, saw some post about it saying once that's checked, that overrides. However, that could, it could differ from state to state. I don't know. So
yeah. All right. With that, thank you, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Let's get to our closing sanity check. Oh, this is glorious. Zohran Mamdani was on Staten Island. He decided to attend an event celebrating law enforcement. It did not go well. Oh. Oh my gosh. I mean, good for him for having maintaining his composure. He kept his remarks really brief.
Thanking them.
He's like, thank you. And he got off stage, but the booing did not stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for some more dancing?
Listen to the MC trying to.
No, we're not. We're getting awards. Somebody's getting an award. You want to see who's getting an award? Come on, guys. I want some energy here.
Oh. What would you do? I mean, first of all, he should be smart enough not to go to something like that. He knows that on Staten Island, at an NYPD night out event celebrating cops, somebody who's hated on police is not going to be welcome. But mm-hmm. that even is pretty intense. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. That has been this week's live shows. We'll have an episode of Sundays with Subscribers coming up this week with an interesting independent content creator who's been at the forefront of trying to keep a violent sex offender out of our community. It's going to be a fun one. So we'll have that for subscribers, a new episode of Swamp Watch coming out this weekend. Other than that, the smoke is supposed to start clearing in Western Washington. So if you've been hiding indoors, we're still thinking of everyone in Spokane. Luckily, the fire is closer to being contained than it was. And so that's good news. All right. If you have not signed up to support our show, please do. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show.